I'm going to be extremely tired throughout this entire thing. And half of it was done in the Yeshiva of Five Towns. So if you hear anything crumb, you can blame it on the Yeshiva of Five Towns and just say it's all their fault. It's because their sfarim just weren't up to par. It wasn't me. It was all them. So here's what we're going to start off with. Perek Dalet Pasuk Tes says, Raki Shomei Lecho Shmor Nafshecha Me'oyev. You have to be very careful for yourself and watch your soul. Why? Pentishkach the Dvarim Asher Roi Nechem. Maybe you'll forget the things that you saw with your very own eyes. They will remove from your heart all the days of your life, and you should tell it over your children, your grandchildren, about Har Sinai. So it's telling you, be careful, make sure not to forget. It's a pretty clear pasuk of what it's talking about. Now later on, there's another pasuk in pasuk Tetzvav that's very similar. In Tetzvav, it says, "V'nishmatem ma'od l'nafshoseichem." Watch your souls very much. "V'nishmatem l'nafshoseichem." Ki lo ri'isem kol tumura b'yom divar Hashem aleichem b'chol b'toreich, because you never saw any pictures up on Har Sinai. So in other words, again, it's an idea of be careful with yourself with what you think God is or how to picture Har Sinai, because it's not an easy subject and it's not something that's easy to figure out. And this is a really, really difficult thing to talk about. How was it? Were we all at Har Sinai? What did we see, etc.? Here's the weird part. So first of all, it seems very clear that it's talking about taking care of yourself and your soul. Nishmartem ma'od l'napshoseichem. The first pasuk is Raki Shem Elecha Ushmor Napshecha Ma'od. So yourself and then your soul, things that might damage it. Now that's definitely true. Now Rashi says, when he talks about Yishem Elecha and Pentishach, etc., he says, you'll be known. If you take care of yourself, you'll be known as a chacham and an understanding person. And if not, you'll be known as a fool. If you take care of yourself spiritually, seemingly, everything will be all good. And the Sforno says this means to stay away from people that are kofrim, that do not believe in God, because their ideas and everything that they espouse, what they talk about, will cause you to be affected. The more you're hanging around that guy, obviously they're going to try to bring proofs to the words, ideas of what they want to say, and the more you're around them, obviously that's going to be a problem. So the Sforno says, Yishomer Lecha, be careful for yourself. Don't go near those people because of what they might tell you. Yes? Non-Jews having chokhmah? What do you mean by that? Oh, how did it learn from them? It's just Yishomer Lecha. It's not saying it's usher to do so. It's not saying it's usher. It's telling you have to be careful when you do so. And this Sforno's saying, you hang out with those people, eventually those philosophies will become your own. So you just got to be careful. So if you know that going in, then you might be able to go up to a person. But again, this deals with like certain issues. Like, let's give specifics. Can you take a philosophy course in college? Can you go into philosophy course in college and take it with a professor who is definitely an atheist? Well, you got to be really careful. You might not be set in your ways yet to be able to take that course. That professor may tell you things that you might question in your Judaism, and in that sense I would tell you it's pretty much usher to go to that course. On the other hand, this type of information is good to know, because dam malahashiv lapikoris, you want to hear where they're coming from, you want to know how to be able to work these things out. Those are the ideas that the Sforno was saying. Be careful, make sure you're around. And the Rabbeinu Ephraim says it simply: keep the Torah, do what you're supposed to do, and God will keep your soul. God will watch over your soul, and that's the idea. On the other hand, says the Ibn Ezra, the other thing you have to remember is that definitely Har Sinai happened. One of the first things we have to know, and the Ramban lists this in one of his mitzvos, the Sheish Zechiros, that you mention after davening, is this pasuk that a person has to remember to himself. He may not forget Matan Torah. He has to think to himself at all times, I was there. I saw the Torah being given to us, and I will never deny God giving us the Torah until someone else comes along that is able to do the exact same thing of Matan Torah through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the only way it goes down. One guy gets up and says, no, I don't believe this ever happened. That's not enough. We need something to happen like Matan Torah in order for it to happen another way, and that's Mashiach. That's the idea of what Mashiach is. That's the concept that we learn from over here, says the Ramban. And Pasuk Tesvav is a continuation of the warning. Never forget these words. The Targum Yonasan says it as well. Never forget what happened at Har Sinai. And that's the idea over here. So you got Rashi saying, be careful with what you do. Be sure not to go near certain people, says the Sforno. We have the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra and Targum Yonasan saying, you just got to be careful not to learn from, not to forget what Har Sinai is. And then comes the Ravina Bachai and says that there is no onus if you simply forget about it. If you simply forget something because you're not thinking about it, that's not a problem. It's removing it from your head. That really means that thinking about it to such a point where you say it never happened. That's the idea, says Ravina Bachai, where you're going to be over. But the Kli Akher takes another approach, and this is the approach that a lot of you have heard when it comes to these psukim. The Kli Akher says, your body must be guarded well, but your soul must be guarded even more so. Starts off and he says, your body must be guarded. From this kliyukr, everybody starts taking from this pasuk that there's an idea that you have to take care of your bodies as well as your soul. Meaning, you can't just go into something and just assume everything's going to work out well. Work out physically in order to make sure that your soul will be healthy as well. That's what they take from the pasuk. But we have to understand, where does that kliyukr come from? Where does the kliyukr get it from? I understand that in pshat in the pasuk, Raki Shomer Lacha, watch yourself, your body seemingly. Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od, it makes sense to go body and soul. I get that. But what does that mean exactly, and how does that apply to us? So the Gemara Brachos Lama Beizim Abeis, this is where it's all from. This is the makor, the source for exercising. Gemara Brachos Lama Beizim Abeis, it says, there's a story about a chassid who was davening on the side of the road. A certain officer, a sar, came by and said hello to him while he was davening Shemona Esrei. And the chassid did not turn to him, didn't make any motions, didn't see him, nothing. He stayed and he davened the entire way. The sar stayed on the side of the road waiting for the chassid to finish. And when the chassid finished, he turned to him and said, you're a fool. Doesn't your Torah say, Yishmor nafshecha and minishmartem ma'od lenafsho seichem? Why wouldn't you have answered me? Don't you know that I could have killed you at any time? He, the sar, darshan nis psukim, and said that in order to save yourself, you should have said hello to me in the middle of your davening. And the chassid begged him to wait until he could explain himself. Wait for me to explain myself. And then he said, if you were speaking to the king and your friend approached you while you were talking to the king, would you stop your conversation with the king to talk to your friend? And the guy said, obviously not. What would the king do to you if you stopped your conversation in order to speak to that other guy? He said, he would kill me. The king would kill me. Said the chassid, I was in the middle of speaking to the king of kings. If I would have stopped speaking to the king of kings in order to respond to you, he would have killed me. That's the line that the chassid said. The officer was appeased and he let the chassid go. I have a trillion kashas on this gemara. And I'm sure you do too. This gemara doesn't make any sense. Literally doesn't make any sense. Why would the friend go up to you while you're talking to a king? If the friend knew you were talking to a king, that's crazy. Why would you do that? There's trillions of questions you can ask on this gemara. But that's not what we're going into. We're going into the chassid darshaning. And from here, the Sefer Haredim says, the Sefer Haredim in Parak Tet Chavav says, these psukim refer to taking care of your body, that you have to be healthy, and take care of yourself, that you don't do silly things. That's what the Sefer Haredim learns from this pasuk. Mesil Sisharim in Parak Tet says, you're a great tzaddik who does great deeds. You should not just have bitachon, that everything's going to work out. You have to be constantly dressed properly for the weather that you're in. If it's cold weather, you wear warm clothing. If you're in hot weather, you wear cold clothing. You're supposed to always constantly keep yourself available, to make yourself available for whatever is necessary at that time. That sometimes means wearing cotton tzitzis in the summer. I don't know if that's a health thing or not, but that's a possibility from what the Mesil Zisharim is saying, that a person has to be careful himself from the sinim upachim, from hot weather and cold weather, to make sure that he's dressed properly so that he doesn't overheat, he doesn't cool down. Yes, Dave.
So, you're not supposed to rely on a miracle. Mm-hmm. I get that. But what you're saying is you have to actually take more of an active role. Meaning, working out or staying healthy requires a certain amount of effort. Mm-hmm. It's not looking both ways when you're crossing the street.
That's 100% true. So I'm asking you to do something more. And in that sense, we're going to have to learn, where does that come from the pasuk?
Right, but it's not, so Hashem likes to work his miracles, so to speak, through nature.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like to ask about nature for things, and therefore you're not protected.
Agreed. So we're saying naturally, though. Naturally speaking, a person should take care of himself, and not in a supernatural, in a natural way. A person has to take care of himself and make sure that he's doing something healthy.
Rely on the secular ideas of science and medicine.
So let's deal with that. Medicine we may, but that's not really going to be the focus necessary. I hear what you're saying. That's another issue, so to speak. Can you rely on science and doctors? And the answer in that case is yes. The Ramban is a famous Ramban on that, where the Ramban says you do not rely on doctors, that a person with perfect bitachon will never have to go to doctors ever in his life. But there's a famous Sitz Eliezer that talks about that and argues on it completely. Now, I did give a shiur on this in Parshas Mishpatim 3 years ago by Rapo Yurape about whether or not you're allowed to go to a doctor and for what and when. That we did. Yeah, you were there. That's why you remember. But this is a little bit different. This is just keeping your body healthy in a different way to try to get you around. So here, let's let's go on a little bit. Not only that, there's a nafkamin over here. Says Rav Schwab, it could even be that this is a suffik dil raisa. If nishmartim al ganav shel seichem means take care of your body, then a suffik dil raisa l'chumra. If there's a suffik whether you're going to be hurt by something, it could very well be that it's a dil raisa that you have to be machmir not to or to do it. In other words, if there's a situation of pikuach nefesh or something very dangerous, it could be that suffik dil raisa l'chachmir, you cannot do it. It would be usher to do. I'm not claiming like bungee jumping. I don't know the statistics or the numbers that are involved with that. But a dangerous situation might be something you'd be able to say, no, I can't. Literally, I can't. Because v'nishmar tov melanav shoseichem. It could be. It's learned from here. Rav Schwab says it's possible it's from these psukim. But there's so much. The Marsha says, from this gemara. I don't understand these rich. Yeah, that's what they claim. But I don't know if the risk factors are fully there. Yeah.
About this a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he said you would define it as princes and princesses. That's what we clear with ourselves as, because we're sons and daughters of the king, right?
Hold on. You're telling me a psak right now?
This is how Reverend Ray understands it.
I understand. It doesn't matter. Meaning, regardless, that's not going to be what we're going to be dealing with. We're not dealing with that. Well, whether or not it's there. I'm just telling you, Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab says, l'halacha, suffik del reisa l'chumra. There's no question about that. So whether or not that will apply, what we're going to do, l'maisa, and how a person would act, that's not the focus. That's not what I'm focusing on. Nor is it, that doesn't matter to me right now. I'm just trying to darshan out this pasuk. Then our show. On that, Gemara and Brachos says it makes no sense to say that these psukim are talking about your body for two reasons. Number one, we're talking about Har Sinai. This has nothing to do with telling a person to be healthy. We're saying be careful not to forget Har Sinai. Be careful not to talk to the wrong people. That's what it's talking about over here. There's no mention about, and therefore you should go and work out and make sure that you're a healthy person. I mean, you shouldn't eat this or you should eat that or something like that. It doesn't mention anything like that over here. All it talks about, all it says, is that a non-Jew came up to somebody and said, how could you do this? The pasuk says the following. Why are we listening to what a non-Jew is telling us to do? It's from the non-Jewish point of view, his drusha on the pasuk. It's like a Christian paskening based on a pasuk, a drusha on a pasuk, and telling it over to us. And we're saying, oh, from there we learn that we should go. You can't learn from what the Christian said. Well, why is that something that we're taking from? Says Marshall. I'm sorry? But it's not. It's a non-Jew that was in the street randomly talking to a chassid. That makes no sense. It makes no sense that it's there. According to the Marsha, it's all a mistake. There is no pasuk of Nishmartim L'Nafsho Seichem that deals with being healthy. There is no such pasuk that applies in these situations. The Marsha knocks it out completely. The Tosefis Bracha argues, this is Reb Epstein. Reb Epstein lived about 140 years ago. He wrote the Torah Tamima and the Tosefis Bracha. And in two different places, in the Tosefis Bracha and the Torah Tamima, he says the exact same thing. He says that Nefesh refers to the body. Nefesh does not always refer to the soul, and he proves it from, for example, we all know this, the ha-nefesh asher tochel, the person that eats, that's obviously referring to the physical body, and then the seret le-nefesh, a scratch for the soul you shouldn't make. These types of scratches, there's clearly, it's referring to the body itself. Torah Tamima says, I don't understand why it refers to the body over anything else, but nonetheless, it's clearly that it could be, I shouldn't say clearly, it could be that the nefesh refers to the body itself. What's up?
It also goes on.
Right. The point is the word nefesh, though, because it's clearly something physical. So even though it says lositnu bivsarchem, right, it still says the word nefesh referring to the physical body. Anybody else know that pasuk? I'm just saying, he's 13. He's calling all you out. The Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Most of your enemies know it. That's good. But now we're going to try to paskin l'halacha whether it goes through. The Rambam definitely holds this pasuk refers to the body. In Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Dalet, the Rambam writes that any stumbling block that could be dangerous, you have a mitzvah assay to remove and get rid of. A mitzvah assay from this pasuk. And if you don't, you're over on an assay and a lav of lo sasim damim bebeisach. You can't have blood inside your house. So you're over on this assay of yishomer lecha if you don't remove a stumbling block that is dangerous. And that could be in any form. If there's something dangerous inside a house in any which way, says the Rambam, that's going to be this assay over here. rega, totally different. No, that's for nezikin. That's for responsibility. No, that's for responsibility. That's not for this. This is referring to just some. You have a labor and essay to take care of a similar that somebody could get hurt from, not something that you made that you have to cover up. And what happens nezikin wise? Because you have a chiyuv. You see something in the street, you have to cover. You have to take care of it. That's that. Shulchan Aruch Pasnas is in the Ordea. Shin Lamed Dalid Mem Gimel. In Shavuos Lamed Vav, the Gemara says that you cannot curse yourself because of that pasuk. You can't even say a curse on your own. Say a curse to yourself. That you can't do. Clearly, he's talking about the body. Now, the Kesef Mishnah asks, where does the Rambam get that from? And he says, Bava Kama Tetz Vavam Abeis. So we all know that, right? Bava Kama Tetz Vavam Abeis. I'll be honest with you. I had no idea what he was talking about. So I had to look it up. And the pasuk, it's weird. He brings the lav of lo sufin dumim bebeisecha. You cannot bring an evil dog inside your house that bites or hurts other people because of lo sufin dumim bebeisecha. But there's no mention of yishomer lacha, umini shmartamod lenafshos seichem. No mention of that. So the Kesef Mishnah brings the makor of the Rambam, that you got to take care of your body, and that there's an aseh and a loseh from bava kama tesvav, but it only mentions the love. It doesn't mention the assay. The Migdalos, now here's time out, okay? The Migdalos, I remember, I forgot the name of the person who wrote the Migdalos, but the Migdalos was written about 400 years after the Rambam wrote his Sefer, and it was written, the entire idea of the Migdalos was to back up the Rambam and everything he wrote. The Ravid argued on him, right? The obviously with Asagas Ravid, you had so many other Sfarim that were like, the Rambam's wrong, the Rambam doesn't know what he's talking about. The Migdalos always took the Rambam side and gives Makoros for the Rambam that people might not have known. Merkavis Mishnah wrote about 120 years ago that you cannot trust anything the Migdalos writes because he's not writing L'Shem Shemayim, because he's only arguing for the Rambam and not arguing on him even when he wanted to. So when you write a Sefer, you can't just back somebody up. There's no way that was written with Siyata Dishmaya, he writes, because if you wrote it with Siyata Dishmaya, sometimes you would argue with the Rambam. Because sometimes you're going to see an opinion that's not like the Rambam. So just backing up a Sefer, the Rambam doesn't need your backup. That's what the Rekavi Mishnah writes. So the Migdalo says, where the Rambam got this from is a Toretz Kohanim. He doesn't say where. He says Toretz Kohanim and Parshas Kedoshim. But he doesn't say where in Parshas Kedoshim. There is no Toretz Kohanim in Parshas Kedoshim that mentions anything like this. On the bottom they said, maybe he meant a Sifri in Parshas Kiseitse. Now that's off by a lot. But if it is a Sifri in Parshas Kiseitse, it doesn't matter because it doesn't mention anything but lo sasim dam besecha. So it's still not going to help. It doesn't help you at all. The Gra sources it back to our Gemara in Brachos. In Brachos it says that the Goy said, v'nishmartam lo nafsho seicham, you got to be careful for yourself. And he says, that's where it's from. The Gra brings it back to Brachos on the base. So in other words, he's arguing on the Marsha. Marsha says it's all wrong. We don't learn from the Goy. That's that. But here, clearly, he did learn from the Goy. And the Rambam Paskin said, la'alach. The Be'er Agola says that it's probably Midrabbanan. It is never meant to be a Dilraisa, even though he says it's a mitzvah asay. The Rambam says a mitzvah asay. He didn't mean it that way. And the Tuos Shor brings a Dilraisa. I couldn't find a Tuos Shor. I looked as hard as I could. I couldn't find a Tuos Shor that says it, but that's that. Then comes Michas Chinuch. Michas Chinuch, a mitzvah number 546. This is about Ma'akeh. Ma'akeh is building a wall around your house in order to make sure that people don't fall off. That if you have a roof where people can get onto, you must have a Ma'akeh in order to make sure that it's, people are careful from going down. It's a mitzvah same deal rises to build a ma'akeh. He says over there, there's no proof that it's talking about a person's body. No proof that there's a person over here, and there's no source for it. And unless the Rambam has a Gemara or a Yushalmi or a Sifri that we don't have, says Mechas Chinuch, it makes no sense. People say it's from Shavuos, Lama Vavon Days, you can't curse yourself. He says that makes no sense. Makes no sense that everybody would have said something about it. The Rambam is coming from the middle of nowhere, and unless somebody can find a Makor, a source for the Rambam, we can't take it as serious. And then he goes on and he says, but wait a second, it doesn't even make any sense. The pasuk says, Hishomer lecha, minishmartim od lenafsho seichem. The word Hishomer and minishmartim is a lav, not an asay. It's a lav. The word shamor, al, and eno, el, those types of words are always used as lavin, not asays. The Rambam says it's a lav. He shamar lecha, minishmart. It should be, but he quotes it as an asay. So the Michas Chinuch almost concludes there's something really wrong with this Rambam. And if you think I'm wrong, if you think the Rambam learns Yishomer as an Aseh and not a Lav, he says in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Chav Vav Gimel, he uses the word Yishomer as a Lav, and he says, Ein Yishomer Ela Lo Saseh. It's a Lo Saseh. It's a Lav. Either way.
Right, but each part time they'll need to be more proactive.
That's definitely true, but either way, it's from the word shomer. And the word shomer definitely refers to...
What it says is the shoresh yishomer.
There is no gemara, that's the problem. The Rambam says it, but when it says he shomer, it does say the word he shomer. So you want to say that it's from Nishmartem.
No, so I want to say
I'm 99% positive we can check up the Rambam, that the Rambam says it's from the word he shomer.
Right, no, the lav is from
Yishomer Lecha. No, the Aseh is from Yishomer Lecha. The lav is from Lo Sasim Dam Beisecha. I'm 99% positive he quotes Yishomer Lecha, not Vinishmartim Ma'od. Now, maybe it is, maybe it's Vinishmartim, maybe that can answer the Mechas Chinuch. It's not a bad call, it's something we should look up. But regardless, it's an amazing thing of whether or not, what's this referring to over here? Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein once witnessed a case where a driver left his cab parked along the walkway of a certain busy street. So in order to get down, when you were in the walkway, the only way to get around now, because the cab driver parked right over there, I don't know if you know Israeli cab drivers, they do this quite a bit, but they in order to get around, you have to go into the street, like on the curb, go down and then go back to the sidewalk and go around. So there was a lady, he said, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein said that I saw this myself. There was a lady who was this is classic Israel, had a stroller with a kid inside it, a kid hanging on it, and 15 kids around here, like as many kids as you can imagine, and they had to go around the cab and go into the street in order to get around it. Now, when they went into the street, they couldn't really see what was going on. So it was worse. Like, you can't even imagine. The baby wasn't strapped in correctly. So she went off the curb, and as soon as she went off the curb with the stroller, the baby fell out of the stroller and landed in the street right in front of a coming car, a car that was going right in front. And by miracle beyond miracle, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, the car stopped suddenly, was able to stop, and everybody was going through. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein said, he holds, in his mind, that car, the owner of that car, would have been over on an Aseh and a Lav for putting his car there had something happened, and possibly would have been over, not by law, we won't call it that way, halachically, would have been over on murder as well, had the kid been killed. Now, we're not saying that the guy wasn't warned and he wouldn't have been killed. Well, it would have been that halachically there could have been something that happens because of these psukim of Yishomer Lechot. This is how the Rambam Paskins, even the Mechas Chinuch doesn't like it. This is how the Rambam Paskins. And then it would have been Yishomer Lechot and a lav of Lo Sasim Damim and possibly Abizrayu Desfichos Damim.
Isn't the shogig anywhere to run to us?
No, I don't know if it would even be a shogig. The car driver, the kasha is whether a car driver that accidentally kills somebody, is that considered a shogig? It's obviously not going down, but that's a kasha in and of itself. That's a shiloh. But what would be the status of such a thing? I don't know. But Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein said another thing. He was asked if a child who was on his way to cheder, listen to this question, I love this question, on his way to cheder to daven at 8 a.m. sharp, he's stuck at a red light at 7:59, and he's always on time, and he wants to be on time for davening. There's no cars coming. Is he allowed to look both ways and then cross the street in order to get to Minyan at 8 o'clock and assume that Shluchim Mitzvah Einin Yizokim? And Yitzchak Zilberstein says no, but such a chop. This is the chop from Yitzchak Zilberstein. He says no. Not because it's dangerous for him. Not because. Even if there's no cars coming at all, it doesn't matter to me whatsoever. The reason why is because aside from the fact that a kid might not be able to judge how quickly a car is coming, another kid is going to see it and do it himself later, and he's going to be hit by a car. It's not that kid is that. And here's the shot. If the kid does it, says Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, if he looks both ways, he knows no cars are coming, and he crosses. He is over on Lo Sasim and V'nishmartim Olenav Shosteichem if another kid copies it and gets hit later on. That's Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein's conclusion. He said, you got to remember, this applies to anything. Meaning, if the Rambam says you can't let something dangerous happen, that means you cannot do something that causes something to happen later on because of what might occur. What might occur? Because someone's watching you, someone's concluding something from you, and it could even be Lifnei Ivro be there involved as well. The problem with saying that this pasuk is talking about the body, says the Chafetz Chaim, is that the pasuk should say v'nishmarta ma'od legufchem. I know the word nefesh can mean body, and I get that. But the Chafetz Chaim says, but why does it say l'nafsho seichem? It should say legufchem. V'nishmarta ma'od legufchem. Aside from the end of the pasuk, v'nishmarta ma'od legufchem, says the Chafetz Chaim. When taking care of your body, making sure you're healthy, you have to be very careful that you don't injure your soul while doing so. I'm giving examples. These are examples, okay? You can take them as they are. They are completely up to you to take it as it is. Can you eat or drink things that are questionable and kashrus in order to improve your body? Vitamins that have questionable gelatin inside them, or those little powders that people take in order to build up muscle that are questionable and kashrus because we don't know exactly what goes inside them. Are you allowed to? The kasha is gel caps. You know, Ravad Yosef is a whole tube on that. Yeah, we don't hold that way with gel caps. You're fine with pig fat. Yet another reason. We can, yes. But regardless, can you do it? Is it mutter to be able to do, or is it not mutter to be able to do? Says the Chafetz Chaim, you got to remember, this is questionable. Can you do that? Can you go to a place in order to work out where the people there are dressed improperly? Can you go to a gym where you know the people are going to be there and there are going to be people that are not dressed properly? Is that mutter to go to? Says the Chafetz Chaim, whenever you go to something, by the way, that one he actually mentioned. He said when people are going to places in order to get themselves healthy where they know there are people there that are dressed improperly. He wasn't talking about gyms. Gyms didn't exist. That they called gymnasiums, but gymnasiums were really schools. What he really was referring to, what he was talking about, is these vacation places where people used to go, and they used to go hang out in these areas where people were wearing, and even though they're not like bathing suits nowadays, they're the bathing suits of like 100 years ago where it's like this, you know, like full Amish suits, right? Nonetheless, he said that's dressed improperly. It's not a muumuu. So because it's not that, right, that's something dressed improperly. Says the Chafetz Chaim, is that the right thing to do? You got to take care of your body. At the same time, make sure your nefesh is taken care of. That's why it says l'nafsho seichem itself. Chafetz Chaim would get up after every meal that he took, and he would walk 6 feet, four almost altogether. When somebody came up to him and said, Rebbe, why are you doing that? He said to him, wait, do you think I went four almost? Do you think I went flying? Do you think that was 6 feet altogether? He was mocked because the Gemara Shabbos Mem Aleph says that if you eat something and you don't walk Dalet Amos afterward, the damim is barosho. Your blood is on your own head. It's your own fault for not walking afterward. Amazing, right? So the Chafetz Chaim said, I need to walk. I don't have to walk more than Dalet Amos. He would measure it out and he'd walk Dalet Amos after he finished. Okay, he was done. I don't know if he took two Amos and then two Amos back. I don't know what he said, you know, what the chop was when it came to that. But that's what the Chafetz Chaim did. Not only that, he was Machped Gummer from the Netziv. He would tell people that everything is in its proper time. You have to daven, you have to learn, you have to eat, you have to rest. Everything has its proper time, and you shouldn't mix those in with one another. You shouldn't have to mix one day with the other. When he was younger, he said, he learned all day and all night. You should know, the Chafetz Chaim got married at a little bit of an older age. I mean, for us nowadays, it's different, because many people at his time, getting married 18, 19, even 17 years old. Chafetz Chaim got married around, I don't remember the exact age, 26, 27, something like that. And it was interesting also who he married. He married his step, not stepdaughter, what's it called? Stepsister, right. That's what he did? His stepsister, right. Because his mother got remarried, and his stepfather brought in a daughter from another marriage. It's all unbelievably interesting when the Chafetz Chaim got married. He said he spent a whole year never sleeping and just sitting and learning all year long. And then, once he did that for so long, he got himself so sick that the doctors told him he wasn't allowed to learn for 5 months. He had to be on vacation without looking at anything for 5 months. He said, what did I gain? I gained nothing by spending all that time. Look how much I was mevatel. And from that point on, he used to turn off lights for people to make sure they would go to bed in Robin, to make sure they would go to bed on time, so they'd be able to wake up and do everything else in the morning. He said, that's a Seder. You have to have a real Seder, right, in order to get through. I remember there was a guy, when I was in base, he used to turn off the lights on me all the time until I rigged the system where I could turn on. There was one light that couldn't be turned off by the regular system. There was one light that was like the emergency light, and I made sure it was in the corner, in the back left corner. If you go to base now, it's still that light that's on almost all night long. There is one light that's on. It's above where my seat used to be. And I had it on, so he wasn't able to get me. He used to come in, he used to yell at me, and he used to be like, I'm not the Chofetz Chaim. All the time. Not the Chofetz Chaim. I'm not going to go to sleep early. Got to make up for a lot of time where I was watching Jay Leno and David Letterman. I gotta do something to make that up. And instead, I ended up doing that. But the Baal Shem Tov used to say, when the Yetzer Hara is left with no other choice and can't get a person to do an Avera, he insists to go on the other direction and convinces the person to plague himself and weaken himself to the point where he has no more kohos to learn Torah. And therefore, a person has to be careful, he says, not to become too big of a tzaddik. That should be our worst problem, right? That should be our worst problem. That's the Yetzer Hara destroying us. Yeah, no, I totally hear you. I totally hear you. We're all Machmer Gumbo when it comes to that. And the Ora Chaim gives another idea. We're going to go through this, and then we'll go into the Tshuvas. Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to get the Tshuv. There's an Ora Chaim HaKadosh on this. El Rokeach, Rav Schwab has another shot that goes through, and then the Netziv itself that goes through unbelievable things as well. But then comes Igros Moshe. Yoredea, Simen Lamed Hay in Chelek Gimel. Okay, Chelek Gimel, Simen Lamed Hay. Rav Moshe was asked if it's usher to smoke marijuana. This is the famous one, right? The famous one. So again, it's in Yoredea, Chelek Gimel, Simen Lamed Hay. So he says, first of all, bravo to that guy for having the audacity to ask the Gadol HaDor about marijuana. I gotta hand the guy this one, because I don't think anybody has the guts to do that. So we hear, this is what he said. Remember, this was written altogether, I believe it was 1982 when he wrote it. I didn't write it down. I believe it's 1982. Right? So listen to what happened over here. So he says like this. He says, there's no question that it's usher. That's Ramoshi. He says, there's no question that it's usher. And he gives a couple reasons. He says, Kedoshim Tiyu is number one. He says, Kibidov might be an issue. Right? Kibidov might be there. And causing your taivas to become stronger is an interesting one. He went into how taivas becoming stronger than that. And then he said a fourth one. He said, there's no question that allowing yourself to be on these types of drugs will allow a person to do other averos, which is well known and doesn't need to be explained further. That's what he says. He said, there's no question it allows you to be more loose with what you're doing. That's what he says. Each one of those ideas can be elaborated on, etc. You can argue one or the other, whatever it is, but it says you have all four of those to deal with. Okay, you have all four of those. But then he mentioned the fifth one. This is the one that deals with us. He says, marijuana, without a question, ruins and destroys one's health. That's what he says. Now, that hasn't been proven or disproven. There aren't enough studies, long-term studies, that have been done about marijuana to really prove it all the way through, although they're using it as medicinal marijuana now. What? No, that was like the video that they showed him, right? Yeah, they made a bracha. I don't know what they were showing you exactly, and I don't think he knew anything about it. Yeah, and you're dealing with one person taking medicinal marijuana once in a while versus a person constantly being a pothead, right? The difference between them. He says, even if there are healthy people that are unaffected by it, it certainly affects their thought process and their minds to the point where they cannot understand things clearly, which causes their mitzvos and their davening to be affected. And not having das is like you didn't do anything at all. He says, because of that. So he said those first four, but then he says the fifth one. That fifth one, I think, is the clincher based on this health idea, which is that it's unhealthy and it makes you lose your das even if some people are unaffected by it, which is an unbelievable emotion. So again, whether that would apply nowadays with the scientific studies that are there, I don't know. I haven't read enough of long-term medical journals that would go through. Maybe Dr. Dalby would be able to help us with that. But let's assume that the number is that we're not fully done. We have not fully figured out the effects, long-term effects of what it would be on the system itself. But then in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Beis Siman Ayin Vav, he speaks about the health risks of smoking. This is regular smoking cigarettes. Now listen to what he says, and he says it depends. If a certain food or tobacco, right, has been proven to be damaging to one's health, then he says there is no question it would be forbidden to smoke. But again, he wrote this in 1981. But if we see that it doesn't affect some people, like we see fatty foods or very sweet foods do not have the same effect on some people as they do on diabetics, right? And therefore, it would not be usher for people to do it, to people to smoke, the same way that it would be usher, the same way it would be mutter to eat fatty foods or unhealthy foods. That's how we talk about it. Again, this is 1981. If they had the studies, they were being squashed by Marlboro and all the other smoking companies, and there was no one that knew the effects of smoking and cancer, etc., and everything like that. There's no question whatsoever. But Moshe says, based on that, that because we don't see any ill health effects, and once in a while you'll see a person, it's even amazing what he says. He says, the Rambam has a whole parak about healthy foods, but he never says it's usher to eat things that are unhealthy. Only if it's definitely going to damage a person is it problematic. But since only a meal of people who smoke get cancer. This is what Moshe says. It's a warning. A meal of people who smoke get cancer, it doesn't seem to be an issue to smoke. Certainly you shouldn't start smoking, he says. I wouldn't call it usher, but he says you shouldn't start smoking. It's only a taiva. Why should you do anything? And it's a chashash sakana. But to continue smoking, I see no problem, since the health risks are not an issue. Now, that's clear from scientific studies on smoking, that that has changed completely from 1981 to 2016. It's been a while. It's been over 25 years since that was done, since Rav Moshe wrote that down. And there's no question the health risks of smoking are extremely well known. I don't think there's any question about it whatsoever. And because of that, even not only for smokers, but for people who are around smokers, there's no question that if Rav Moshe was asked today whether it would be usher to smoke, there's no question he would say usher. Because if the majority of people are being injured or damaged by it, then that would already cause it to be a sakana or a danger, and the nishmarta would then apply. And the funny thing is that
by 1980 they didn't know that smoking was bad.
Well, Moshe might not have.
No, I mean, he wouldn't have known that the science collectively knew that it wasn't healthy for people to smoke.
I don't know.
Yeah, I already heard a warning from Sarcana because a Surgeon General's report came out in 1969.
Really, so what? When did it become more popular? I just assumed that the smoking companies just kept knocking it down and knocking it down so that people wouldn't hear about it. So even though the Surgeon General would come out with something, they kept...
The warnings went on
in 1969.
It was pretty clear.
You know what? Does the Surgeon General write a warning even if it's a mute of people that will get affected by it?
Yeah, because it's not the number, the percentage of people who smoke that get sick. It's the relative risk.
The relative risk.
Smokers say, and by the way, there's a lot worse, a lot more frequent problems smoking than lung cancer. But the relative risk, say, of certain types of lung cancer for smokers is 100 times that of non-smokers. That doesn't mean non-smokers don't get it.
Right, of course. Yeah. But that's the idea. I mean, if we're dealing with that either Rav Moshe didn't know about it, or people held it from him. Remember, he didn't speak or read English. Surgeon General probably didn't put stuff out in Yiddish, and people probably didn't tell him. I would assume he didn't speak it. I'm sure he spoke a couple words, but he never spoke English. There were a lot of questions. There's a famous thing where a person came up to Rav Moshe and said, "Is it usher to eat a pickle?" He said it in Yiddish. He meant to say, "Can you make a pickle on Shabbos?" But the way he said it in Yiddish was, "Can you eat a pickle on Shabbos?" Rav Moshe said, "Yes." So the guy went around all of Lakewood telling everybody, "It's mutter to make pickles on Shabbos, mutter to make pickles on Shabbos." I said, he said it wrong. He was saying it in English or whatever, like an Englishized type of Yiddish. Rav Moshe didn't understand it, baklal. It's the same problem nowadays when you have people asking, Rav Chaim, can he ask you questions? And he has no idea what you're talking about. Like, he can't figure it out. Like, if an American is speaking to Rav Chaim, he's not going to be able to answer your question correctly.
He answers a question he doesn't understand.
Because he thinks that you're asking him like a random question. He doesn't know you're ready to publicize or go around or whatever it is. A guy comes up to him and says something. He hears what you have to say. You didn't say it correctly. Like, here's what you have to say. I'll answer it for you. You have a quick question, I'll answer it. But he doesn't think that this...
Like, what is the cost? Why are you asking that question?
I'm sure that Rav Moshe looked at him and he's like, of course it's mutter. And the guy probably took it as, pickling is for sure. But I'm sure that's what ended up happening. Like, you have that. Yeah, like, you have no, there's no musik. But that's the issue. The issue with going to somebody like that and asking the question is just that. So I have Rav Moshe didn't know. But what would he say nowadays? There's no question he would say it's usher. And it's from this pasuk. So again, at the end of the day, what is v'nishmarta lo nafsho seichem? It's weird. It's not referred to in the pasuk at all. It's a drush. It is not shot in the pasuk at all that is referring to the health of a person. But there's no question. question. It seems that it's taken from the Kli Yakar. The Gemara in Brachos, the non-Jew darshaned it, and even though the Marsha says we don't paskin that way, the Rambam paskins that way. The Rambam takes it and says it, and there's no other makor aside from that Gemara in Brachos and maybe the Gemara in Shavuos. There's no other makor for that Rambam. So it seems from there that we do paskin that a person has to be healthy, and from that you have the problem of Rav Schwab Suffik Nefashos Lohago Suffik Doraisa Lachumra. You got to be Lachumra on all these things, and you got to be careful. The last thing we're going to start off with is it's going to be we have to be careful. When we already know the health risks of Coca-Cola, we know what they are. We know the health risks of fatty foods, of oily foods, etc. They have not become so bad where we know that every person is affected, or it hasn't yet become fully publicized yet, even though I'm sure the Surgeon General's warning is going to come out soon about how bad Coke is for the system and how bad it's going to whatever it is. These are things we have to be careful on. At some point it might become us, so drink as much Coke as you can now in order to take care of this problem. You're going to have enough. I don't know what to do. It's going to have to go in. Alright, guys, have a good Shabbos. We'll dive right now.